if you're on the line.
I can hear you, Commissioner Lee. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Commissioner Ivey.
Very good.
Richard Milton's on here.
Good.
Dave Shockroft here.
And that's it. Is that it, Alice? There's four online.
Richard Milton, Dave Shockroft, Ben Van Noy is on there.
Ben Van Noy, you on there? Well, I didn't hear you chime in.
I apologize. Yes, I am here.
Okay. No. And it looks like commissioners, there's two individuals on a line that we don't recognize. But you know, you have Commissioner Ivey, right?
Yes.
Okay. Cause he mentioned, okay. All right. Commissioner Ainge, are you going to start us off or do you want me to go?
Sure. Yeah, we can jump in. We've got a work session with two items. Sounds like the first item is Richard Nielsen, if you want to give us an overview of what this is.
Okay. I was asked about a year and a half ago to prepare a cost estimate for a road out in the northern end of Cedar Valley. That's the road that we know it as 8,000 North. It goes out to Wasatch Wing and Clay. That also leads out towards West Canyon. We prepared a cost estimate on that, and I've emailed that to each of you, looking at what it would take to get a paved road out to the Wasatch Wing and Clay site. The first roughly half mile of that road is inside Eagle Mountain City, and then the remaining about a mile and three quarter out the Wasatch Wing is in the county. So the cost estimate kind of reflects that. A couple of weeks ago, Commissioner Lee and I had a conversation about this road, and he asked me if I would bring this up on a work session so we could have a discussion about it. I think what prompted this back a year and a half or so ago was some concerns from Wasatch Wing, as they had some of their large national chutes and road conditions getting out there. We'd had a wet time in the spring. They had some large motorhomes trying to come onto the site that had some troubles. We have tried to work with them since that point in time. Had them just call us as they've had chutes that are coming up. We've been out and graded it a few times ahead of those for them, and I believe that's working fairly well. But that is where this discussion of paving this road came from, to try to get those large units into that site. One of the things that we've looked at as we put this cost estimate together is that the existing road surface out there, the graded gravel road, is about 18 feet wide. It's all agriculture, and then, like I say, going out to Wasatch Wing. There's an area where it crosses the Tickville Wash where there's about a 7-foot diameter pipe that's in the ground that has deteriorated somewhat, would need to be widened as part of this road project to get it out toward. We've got some safety issues there if the road were to be paved and widened. What we would propose if we were going to do this would be to go to a 30-foot asphalt section. That would be two 12-foot travel lanes with 3-foot paved shoulders on either side, and assuming that would be in a 56-foot wide right-of-way. Currently, the road that's there now is on a prescriptive right-of-way. So it meaning that the county does not own the road in fee title, thereby use. So we would assume that the landowners would be favorable to this and could possibly donate the right of way if the county were doing the improvements. We have split the cost estimate out to where it shows the Eagle Mountain portion and then also the county portion. County portion is about almost 613,000. The Eagle Mountain portion is right at 250,000, which also includes the proportionate shares of the Tickville Wash culvert, bringing the total amount of the project to about 862,000. Again, that there's some assumptions on there on right of way that we wouldn't have to pay for that, but I think basically the idea here is to have a discussion with the commission to see if it's something that you want to move forward with. If we need to look at having some sort of an interlocal agreement with the city of Eagle Mountain for their portion of it, and where you want to go from there.
We also have Mayor Westmoreland here, and Mayor Miller is here as well. I think Mayor Westmoreland, you have a presentation that you'd like to, you know, to talk about.
Sure. Thank you, commissioners, for having us today. As you know, this road is situated between Eagle Mountain and Cedar Fort, so it's right in our backyard. And Wasatch Wing and Clay has regional interest, regional significance. So we certainly want to do our part in helping improve the area. As was mentioned, a portion of the road is situated within Eagle Mountain city limits, and we are perfectly willing to do our part there. And if there's some way that we find that we can be helpful, even in the county portion, we're willing to explore that as well. So as was mentioned, Mayor Miller is here, both representing Saratoga, but also the interest of the sport shooting community as well. So I want to invite him up, and we'll proceed from there. Is that okay?
Thank you, commissioners, for giving us a chance and working with us. I know Commissioner Ivey, Commissioner Lee, you both had a chance to come out and kind of tour the property and see what's going on out there, kind of the growth and the potential of things that are coming. With that and kind of the regional significance that this can play for North Utah County and bringing tourism and people into the area for these different events. With that, we had talked with Wasatch Wing and Clay, and they kind of based it off numbers that they figure they probably had about 20,000 cars down that road last year, with just people going out to sporting clays, to shoot clays, and to hunt out on the preserve out there, plus all those going up into West Canyon. So that road is fairly heavily used for a dirt road. With that, and it has held us back in some areas in being able to grow some economic areas. I've talked with Lehigh's mayor, Mark, and had a conversation with him about kind of the area's growth. They've got a lot of the hotels and stuff that a lot of these people that aren't bringing motorhomes or flying in from out of state would come and do. Last year for one of the shoots, we had people as far Hawaii, Alaska, Canada coming down to Utah for this event. And we could have more, and they're going to stay primarily in Lehigh. And he was in support of that and said he would be willing to send you any information that you need from that. So if you have questions there, but I asked today to have some people come and talk, if you're okay with having them bring up some different points. We have Brian, that's the president of the Utah YES, which is the Youth Education and Shooting Sports. And he's been working with some of the regional events and national events that could be brought to this area if we can get better access to that. Are you okay if we have?
Sure. A question for you, Mayor.
Okay.
My interest in this road is the potential, and also the potential loss of not being able to have events there because of the the circumstances with the road. And it's probably not all the road, but I'm sure that they're, and maybe they're going to talk about this, and okay. And if others, other groups, big national groups, that are coming, if this is a down for them to have something like this, then I hopefully they can speak to that too.
Okay. Yeah. Brian will address a lot of that with the events and that. There are big corporations like Midway USA is going to put an investment out there to put in an Olympic bunker trap. Which would be one of few in the region, and that will draw people. Currently, people drive to, I believe it's Arizona or Colorado, to participate in that. There's not a place in Utah, but Midway USA has done a grant, and other groups and people have donated in to help grow the facility to attract more of these type events. And he has more of that information when he talks to you, kind of the events and the size and scope that they can bring to the area.
Okay. Great.
Thank you. My name is Brian Beard. As Jim stated, I'm the president of Utah Youth Education and Shooting Sports, as well as the regional director for USA Youth Education and Shooting Sports, which is the national governing body for our group. We're the largest youth shotgun sports program in the state right now. We're also we have the largest youth shotgun sports program in the USAS program, so pretty large. Some of the shoots that we're talking about potentially bringing out to Wasatch Wing, in addition to the bunker trap project, is we are looking at bringing our regional competition out here to Utah, which is going to be fairly large. Last year, there was just over 130 kids, and they all bring their families with them, but from the youth standpoint, we had 130 participants. We would expect that because a lot of the youth in Utah didn't travel out to that, where it's here. If it's here in Utah, it's going to at least double in size. So we would expect probably close to 300 or more kids. And then again, they're going to bring their families and so forth. They bring their campers, their RVs, and then we have vendors that come out on site. One of them that came out for our state shoot had a 53-foot semi-truck that they brought out with them, and we're selling stuff out of the back of that. So as far as other shoots go, after I conquer regionals and get that here, there is interest from our national organization to bring our national competition out here as well. So we would like to entertain that if we can get our regionals successful out here and going. And then along with the bunker trap, there are some possibilities for bidding out some of the larger shoots that are currently held out in Colorado from USA Shooting, which is the Olympic side of the shotgun sports world. Probably not bid out the Olympics per se, but we could potentially bid on US Open and World Cup and the other events that they host. So that's kind of what we're looking at with that. And then having this paved road would be a huge benefit in bringing all of that out here. So that's where we're at. Do you have any questions that you'd like me to address with that? Or
I don't have any. Thank you.
Okay. No, I don't. Thank you for that information.
Yep.
Can I ask, there's a question. I don't know if Dave Shockroft or Rob Moore have an answer to this, of just the logistics. We've heard the benefits of the road and why it might make sense to get it out there. Talk about this easement issue. Or is that a real hurdle? What needs to occur there? What are our thoughts?
This is Dave Shockroft. The easement, if it's donated, deeded over to the county by the property owners, that obviously is a significant benefit. But if any of them don't, then there would have to be a negotiation to try to reach an agreement with the property owners with regard to acquiring that easement. And if not voluntarily provided, then potentially to condemn it if that's the way that the commission would want to go.
This is Richard. I'll add one thing too on that, is that we can do work within the existing prescriptive easement. We can't widen beyond that with just the prescriptive easement.
That's correct.
And has any legwork been done on determining the availability that's required for that easement?
The one of the landowners, I don't know if there's multiple, but there's at least one of the landowners here.
Jim Smith.
So we could ask that question.
Okay. What was the question?
Just about the easement, prescriptive easement versus, you know, widening that road. So there'd be part of that. I mean, as a landowner, would that be something that you'd be willing to look at possibly deeding to the county in the way of an easement there?
We absolutely would. I couldn't speak for the other landowners, but we certainly would be. We see the benefit of the road for all that we do out there.
How much of that do you control versus others?
We'd have a mile.
You have a mile of it?
A mile of it.
So that's the majority of it then?
That's on one side. We'd be a mile on one side of it.
Right.
And I would be surprised if any of them had any objections. The road's been there forever. Everyone would benefit from an improvement on that road.
Yeah. And on the prescriptive side, you know, we could do something, but I think that the question would be that to get the 56 right away, there's going to have to be a push out just a little bit into the...
I would be surprised if anyone had any issues with it, but the gentlemen that own across there, you know, they're reasonable farm guys, and I think that could be worked out.
It would be something we'd have to have a conversation with, obviously. And more than a conversation, agreements and, you know, documents and everything else that goes along with it, right?
More fun than we can stand.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Do you have other questions or?
No, I don't have any other questions. Well, maybe there's one that, since you're up there, I know we're doing some estimates on travel down that road right now. We would probably anticipate it would increase with a paved road instead of a dirt road. And maybe there's a question more for Richard Nelson on this. You know, with the estimates of the road, how does that rank with roads that we have in the county already, in the sense of if we were to just take it at face value?
I'm sorry, rank is what?
How would that road, if they're getting 20,000 or so, 20,000 plus, you know, trips down that road, how would that rank with some of the other projects or other roads that we have in the county in the way of usage that are paved?
20,000 in a year, you're looking, let me look here really quick. I can't do my head really good. That's fairly low. It averages out, if you look at it as an annual average daily, it's about 55 cars a day. That's fairly low. If you look at it from what they would have on shoot days, it's going to be a fairly substantial amount. You know, probably several hundred a day during that, which would put it on par with some of our collector type roads throughout the county. In comparison to like a Pioneer Crossing or something like that, we don't even hold a candle. But that's a whole different ball game on a road like that. So they're looking more like 20,000 a day.
Well, in talking with the general manager, Weston out there, he talked about they also do a reception center, but receptions have to stop when the wet weather comes because of the dirt road. But there's also corporate events, corporate shoots, corporate hunts that will call and check on the condition of the road before they book sometimes a $10,000 or $20,000 event for their corporation and then the wedding. So there's, other than just the big regional and national shoots, there's local revenue that's coming from businesses that are going out there and doing shoots throughout the year. And so there is a loss that's coming between that kind of October and spring dry out due to the road conditions. So the 20,000 cars is with the road as it is. I think that number would drastically go up year round when people can access that. Like 2 years ago, Richard, you came out and we worked on the road and talked about it. It was four-wheel drive only for a few weeks. So a lot of people weren't able to get out there unless you really wanted to go to your axles because the road was already trashed.
And I know that after we had that conversation, I don't remember who it was we talked to out there on site, but we told them if they get into a situation like that and we're not aware of it, let us know and we'll bring a grader out. And I think we've done that a few times since then.
Correct. So we do, commissioners, also have some other people just here in the audience with us. We have some coaches from the various teams participants from out there that are here just kind of in support to see this grow. They live out that way, they work out that way. And so there's a lot of regional benefit that can benefit the north end of the county and Utah County in itself. These shoots and stuff are typically not small dollar events.
Right. And again, that's part of the reason of my interest there is that there's a base there in which I see economic activity. I also see patterns of travel that go out there, and a partnership with the city, I think, is an important key, as I look at this and try to balance it.
Yeah, definitely. This is Mayor Westmoreland again. I just thought it might be worth mentioning as far as context for this area. This is on this adjacent to the southern border of Camp Williams, and the ACUB buffer is in this area. And the plan for that buffer, that Camp Williams buffer, is to use it for outdoor recreational purposes. So it's something that we look to as definitely a positive enhancement, and something that will get increased attention and activity in the coming years that will be positive part of the area for things like mountain biking and all kinds of outdoor activities.
I know, Commissioner Ainge, the day that we went, you were tied up with other meetings that had been scheduled. If you'd like to come out and see what's going on at the site, be more than happy to take you out and show you what's going on out there. Commissioner Lee, Commissioner Ivey, you're both welcome. Come do that if you're interested with Commissioner Ainge.
I would love to go see it for sure. Appreciate that.
I will work with your office to get something set up and with the club. Any other?
Great.
All right, thank you.
Okay, can you still hear me in the room?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, starting to get a little bit hard for me to hear, but I understand they're going to set up. I will do kind of a due diligence tour there, but have we completed this item or is there any additional discussion?
Yeah, I think this is completed. Yep.
Okay. Great. Well, appreciate everyone coming and taking their time to help inform us on that work session item. And so we turn to our second agenda item, which is still Richard. Discussion of a life jacket loaner station on the Knowles area at Utah Lake.
Thanks, Commissioner. This is Richard again. Back in early May, May 6th, as you may be aware, a couple of young ladies from the Saratoga Springs area were out on Utah Lake and caught in a windstorm and unfortunately lost their lives there on Utah Lake, originating from the Knowles areas where they were supposedly got into the water. The families of these young ladies have put forth a proposal sent to me. I've forwarded on to you in the agenda package, looking at doing a life jacket loaner station that would be placed on county property at the Knolls. This is property that we bought two or three years ago to provide lake access in that area. There's a picture of what they're looking at doing. It's basically a kiosk with some signs about water safety, things like that, and then also having a place for life jackets to be hung that if people come and want to get into the water, they can use a life jacket, then hang it back up there when they're done for the next person to use. I believe that Stephanie, I believe you say Cowles is the last name. I had emailed her earlier, and I believe she may be on the line or there in person, I'm not sure which, and may be able to talk more to this. From the county perspective, as far as putting this on the property out there, I don't see any issue with that. We just want to coordinate the location. I'd maybe have the attorney's office weigh in on any liabilities that we may have for that. So with that, that's really all I have, unless you have questions for me, and we can see if if Stephanie is on the line.
Yes, I think we're opening up that line right now. And Stephanie, are you on the phone?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't really know I was going to talk today, so I guess you guys have questions. I thought I was just listening. Sorry.
All right. Well, we were. I think maybe if you could explain a little bit why. I mean, we understand why you're kind of pushing in this direction with the life jackets and that life jacket kiosk tree that are there. First off, I probably ought to say our condolences and for the incident that happened out there. It's tragic, and we of course feel for that situation. And recognize that this is an effort to see if you can help stem something like that possibly happening again. I would assume that's what this effort is for. And if you have anything to say there, if you don't, we can always just talk with Richard.
That's kind of what we were thinking of doing. That was our purpose, because during that time, during that 8 days, we met a lot of people and talked to a lot of people that have had, incidents where like something similar. And so we just want to get like the education out there as far as, so when people do go in that area, like, I don't know if you've been in that area before, but there's like nothing there. There's not really any signs. And so I think just having that there would be not only like an education purpose, but also like it possibly could save the next person who is not really aware of the dangers of that lake and how quickly it can change. So they do just happen to grab a life jacket because it's there versus just going out there thinking like, oh, it's fine. It's just a lake. The water's calm. Because when we talked to search and rescue, they did say that regardless of the outcome, that if they were wearing a life jacket, they could have been found a lot sooner, possibly alive. Or the fact that my sister was Priscilla, the fact that she made it so far, I kind of believe that if she was wearing a life jacket, she maybe could have made it to shore. So, we kind of just want to do that, to, like you said, to prevent the next incident like this from happening again and possibly save somebody from drowning. Because it happens a lot, which I had no idea, but in all the lakes, it happens a lot.
Right. So maybe a question that I have, Stephanie, that I just don't know. And that is with this kiosk, this life jacket tree that's there, is it something that you have an organization with or the family for maintaining it? Or are you looking for the county to, to provide it and then maintain it? I just don't have the answers to those questions. And so I just wanted to ask and see where that was. Were you coming from there?
Yeah. So as far as maintenance, my family and I, we just moved from Utah. So we have a lot of family and friends out there. And then Sophia's family also, like, we kind of all discussed that we would almost set up like a little volunteer spreadsheet between us, and we would, do monthly or whatever is required. We would go out there monthly or biweekly just to do like regular maintenance or restock life jackets. Like, we're not asking the county to, provide anything. Like, it would be solely like 100% on us as far as maintenance and restocking life jackets and like handling that aspect of it. We do have one person that we're kind of talking to about. I don't know if you see it in the proposal. We have two different ideas for the life jacket. Track. But we do have one person that's kind of come up with a design, and then we also have the picture of the one that I think is from Saratoga Springs on the other side of the lake, that we're kind of hoping that we would be put in touch with the right people to get that one, because I think that's the one that we want. And then I don't know if he mentioned we wanted to put like a little plaque saying in memory of Priscilla and Sophia, and then at the bottom we wanted it to say take one to save a life, leave one to save another. So we wanted to like mount that on to to the life jacket rack as well.
I see. Okay, those are the questions I had. Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that explanation and this effort. Very noble. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Agreed. I appreciate you taking time at this work session. And, you know, I think it probably raises some questions a little bit more, even broader, where we could sit down with our public works, but also with the Cheatell Lake Commission and just review more generally. If, you know, I know we spend a lot of time educating the public on algae blooms and other types of issues related to the lake, but the question is there enough information and is there enough signage about how windy the lake can get? And I appreciated your part about the education piece, but then it's also providing those flotation devices as well on a loaner basis. So a lot to think about, and I appreciate you kicking off this discussion.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any other discussion on this item?
Nope.
All right, well then, I guess it's, we can adjourn. I have a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.